This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We're at the top of the hour. It is Monday, and it's a gorgeous Monday out there, summertime. Tomorrow's going to be some rain, which is much needed. You know, it was funny because we had a barbecue in the backyard, and part of our lawn is like it's getting all hay-like. I'm like, what the heck? I've never really seen it like that. We need the rain. So anyway.
It will come back, though, even though it looks it looks
horrible.
You know, the roots are dormant or whatever. So it'll come back.
So it is Healthy Monday, and we want to welcome back Randy Clemens, author and speaker, author of two Sriracha cookbooks. And what do you have in your little glass for us today?
Today, I actually brought some raw milk from Benedict Dairy in Goffstown. I got that right?
Goffstown?
Okay.
Yes.
I know.
All right. Newcomer. I'm still new here. Yes. So I'm learning all my pronunciations. So thank you for your help.
We'll give you a test in maybe 6 months, but we'll put out 10 New Hampshire towns and we'll see how you do.
Okay. Sounds good. So.
Wow. Well, you brought us cheesecake. You brought us vegan cheesecake.
Mike loved
it. A couple of weeks ago. I've told so many people about it. I said, he did this with cashews? Are you kidding me?
I'm glad. I actually made another one with some blueberries that I picked up at Benedict Dairy as well. So
nice.
But yeah, this is real milk. In fact, it is the most real milk. It's raw milk, so it hasn't been pasteurized, which was a marvel for its time.
Yes,
pasteurization definitely was a good thing for a long amount of time as far as food safety goes. But I, for one, really prefer raw dairy. I don't drink a lot of milk. But I was really thrilled to find how little restrictions there are on raw milk sales here in New Hampshire. When I was in California, there were some pretty famous cases. There was a place called Rossum that sold raw milk, and it was kind of like a little underground food co-op. And the feds pretty famously came in and like raided the place with guns drawn. This was a few years ago. And their whole thing was that they were a co-op and they weren't open for, you know, public business. Mm-hmm. And you had to fill out a whole waiver to like shop there. But people liked having that choice. And so some people get mad because bacteria exists in raw milk that pasteurization would destroy. But with that goes some digestive enzymes and things that a lot of people point to as something that helps you actually digest the lactose in milk much better. There are some cases, I'm not entirely familiar and I don't claim to be a doctor, but I've seen a lot of people point to personal testimonies of shifting their children from pasteurized milk to raw milk and seeing great advances with less severe symptoms of asthma, inflammation going down hugely. The Weston A. Price Foundation is one group that does a lot of research on raw milk, and I know they've pointed to some studies that suggest it may have some effect on autism as well. But for me, it just tastes like milk squared. Like, it tastes more like milk than milk does, and especially with when I showed up at the dairy, they didn't have any bottles out. They were just bottling. So, I mean, it was almost...
So this is right out of the cow.
Yeah.
Huh?
And so to be able to get it that fresh and, you know, the cream line separates, it's not homogenized. It's...
Yeah.
And you
shook it up, though.
To mix
in the fat. All right. So...
So this is right out of the cow.
With no treatment per se. And it's got... It definitely is a look of whole milk and even almost cream-like. It's not what you would call the skim white. It almost has just a bit of a yellow color.
Yeah, it does. It has sort of a little tinge.
I'm not
a milk drinker.
Oh, I love milk. So
I'm not a big milk drinker either, but when I'm presented with raw milk, and so, yeah, that yellow tinge you'll get from the pasture. It's from the grass.
Mm.
It's actually from the feed of the cows, and you can... If you're working on the farm and drinking a fair amount of milk, you'll be able to tell the difference between summer milk and winter's milk, where you go from grass to hay. And a lot of cheesemakers use those profiles with their cheesemaking as well, because it can lend different flavors. So the funny thing about this is, there's very few instances of foodborne illness from raw milk, but it's in many states you're not allowed to buy it, and so you have to go to these weird ways of getting it. Whole Foods Market used to carry it, but they stopped because they felt it was some kind of liability, and it just became more increasingly difficult to find at different places I was going. So it was great to be able to go to the dairy here. I mean, it was maybe a 20-minute drive.
Sure.
And they do a CSA as well, but they had lots of other neat things there. They have yogurt. The yogurt's from pasteurized milk. I actually made some with the raw milk when I got home. Pasteurized milk actually works better for yogurt. It thickens a little better if you already use raw milk.
That's kind of counterintuitive, considering that this has all the fat that comes with real organic milk.
Well, yeah. Well, they actually recommend adding some cream if you're making yogurt from raw milk. So I made a batch, and I think I let it stay warm a little too long, and I didn't add any cream. And so you get some separation because it's not homogenized. You'll get some whey that separates out, but really... the taste is unparalleled. I really like it. So
it really is good. And now I'm getting a little of the real, true dairy aftertaste that, you know, that maybe you're not a fan of, and not everybody is. My daughter hates milk. It's really good.
Yeah,
in my world.
I dig it. And like, I can't even remember the last time I actually had a glass of milk. So you know, sitting here and having one now.
Me neither.
Like, yeah, it was
when
a treat.
I was pregnant. That was 21 years ago.
I need some Oreos. Did you make some vegan Oreos for me?
You know
today?
What? Oreos are actually vegan. So,
oh, they are?
Yeah, that's one of those surprising things that people find out.
Oh, my.
Out, but they are. So there's plenty of ways to be unhealthy and vegan, believe me.
Yeah.
But it was really cool to go to the farm because it wasn't just milk they had. They also sold yogurt and butter and a few other items. But they also had blueberries from a neighboring farm, which were fantastic.
Sure.
I used those in another batch of cheesecake that I made. And I picked up some parsley and some basil that I used. I made a sun-dried tomato pesto over the weekend. So it was really cool to be able to get some other items there. They had eggplant and just... anything that they grew or that some of their neighbors grew. So I was able to pick up some great things over the weekend that I'll be playing with. I also got to stop by this really neat place, the Heritage House, Heritage Farm Pancake House, I think is what it was called, in Sanbornton. Did I get that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty
darn
close.
Do I have to say it faster, like Sanbornton?
Yeah.
Is it just,
you
okay.
know, I say it just like that.
Sanbornton.
Sanbornton, I think, is how some people.
Right.
But you know what?
Say it.
I think that's perfectly acceptable.
Yes.
Well, right there, there's a vegan ice cream place called Rock Salt.
Yes.
And they make they're from cashews, the same way we had that cheesecake last time I was here. So it's dairy-free, gluten-free. They use organic ingredients.
But it's ice cream?
Yeah. And so they make these really cool, like, they look like fudge popsicles. I mean, they're on sticks, and you can get it chocolate dipped while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fantastic. And what a cool place, too. There's actually a big playground for kids and stuff outside, and just tucked back, of course, as you would expect, in a beautiful, beautiful spot. But that was really neat to check out. We went to the Belknap.
Belknap, yes.
Perfect.
All right, I'm
nailing
it.
Three for three.
The Belknap County 4-H Fair, and
yeah.
Check that out. And on the way back down, hit that the vegan ice cream. So I'm loving how much dairy and how much non-dairy I've been able to find. But just also, there's a really great, I don't want to say reliance, but pride in sourcing locally. You know, each thing that wasn't from Benedict Dairy was labeled with what farm it was from and where. And so it was really, really cool to be able to, you know where your food's coming from, and know that it's a face, not a, you know, not a corporation that you're sending money to. You know, you're supporting a family.
And it's in Goffstown, Benedict Dairy.
Yeah. And so it's, I think, 97 Shirley Road or something like that, if I remember right.
Shirley Hill Road.
Shirley, there you go. Oh,
okay.
And if Max and Melissa are the owners, Max and Melissa Benedict, and if they're out running around, it's honor system. They got prices, and you just write down what you bought and drop your money in the little box.
Did you ever see that in California?
No.
The honor system? That's pretty common here in New Hampshire.
It is.
Yeah. New England in general.
Yeah, no. It's, you know, it's not something I ever saw. There was the first time I ever saw it, really. Was a coffee shop in Texas somewhere, and they just had it for their like to go black coffee, and they had a little cream and everything, but it was basically if you were ordering anything else, you got in line, but if you just wanted self-serve coffee, you know, drop a dollar in, it said honor system, you know, and don't have it today, pay tomorrow kind of thing. They had the right sign to say basically, you know, it's coffee. If you need it that bad, you can have it. So I appreciate that too, you know, because that's some people are unfortunately in that situation.
Yes.
So it's you know, I like things that support that. So pay what you feel.
The milk is good. It says 100% grass-fed Jersey cows, certified organic, and such. Now, this is a quart, right? This is a quart container?
Yes.
How much was this?
$3.50.
All right, so it's not cheap.
No. No, it's certainly not. And, you know, right. I think part of that is that they're eating grass, and that takes up space, and that takes up water, as opposed to, you know, some commercial feed that has any number of ingredients in it that may or may not be listed. You know, and so this to me feels more in line with, you know, what was intended. Cows eat grass. Cows are outside, and that's what they do. Given a choice, they sometimes go for other feed, but corn is notoriously difficult for them to digest, and that's what a lot of them are fed. And, you know, so it's, I just appreciate, you know, that, and this for me is more than enough. That's why I brought it here to share. It was, you took the other quart and made yogurt with it. And this one, it was like, okay, well, I would like a glass of milk, but that'll probably be my quota for a few months. Like,
oh, is that right?
Yeah, I love it, but I just don't ever, like, have it or crave it. Mm-hmm. It's in the house. It'll get consumed.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like me and potato chips. If it's in the house, it's going to get consumed. All right, so tell me again why pasteurized milk is not, in your view, as preferred as what we're having here today.
Well, I don't like defaulting to the, like, if it's, you know, I don't like just taking something because it's natural. There are things out there that are natural that are bad for you. But I do feel that this is more in line. If we are meant to consume, you know, the milk from another animal, this is the way I would want to have it. Especially I'm more in support of a family farm than the raw milk. I support both. I love both, but just that, you know, they're actually treating their animals well, and they aren't keeping, you know, tearing calves away from their mothers right when they're born, and, you know, just having pretty deplorable conditions. You can see that the animals are well treated. On the pasteurized side, though, I really do feel like it destroys some of the beneficial enzymes that actually help your body assimilate some of the nutrients. I think cooking it alters, I know that science tells us that the very fast cooking, even though it minimally changes the milk, it changes the milk, it changes the structure of the protein, it changes the structure of the fat. And some argue that, you know, it's not as well assimilated by your body, or that it breaks down differently. And even the homogenization process, which is inherent with pasteurized milk, that's where they break down all the fat globules so that they're uniform and kind of spread out evenly throughout the milk. You don't have that cream separation layer. The dairy farm I used to work on, the cheesemaker there told me that was sort of a commercial tactic so that people didn't know how old their milk was, because if you could see how much cream it separated out, you knew how long it had been sitting on the shelf. And so that's why you don't see packaged on dates. You see sell by dates. There's a better idea of, I have this much time left versus this has been sitting on a shelf for this long. But he also argued, and I didn't ever check the science behind it, but he just was saying that breaking down the fat so that it's in that small of a molecule, he really thought it was treated differently by the body and how it was digested or not digested, and that, you know, he thought that incidences of heart disease and things had actually spiked since milk began being pasteurized. So I may be quoting pseudoscience here, just disclaimer, I don't know. I just remember this is what stuck with me from working with someone who owned a dairy farm and did things the old school way. So again, it didn't send me on a path to drink a gallon of milk a day, but like when I do have a glass, I would very much love for it to be raw milk. Huh? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there's been some controversy about it in the state, but probably nothing like you're used to from other places you've lived. And I can't even think of what the arguments were, because I've never lived anywhere near where I could just go pick some up. And I don't know that I would have, because maybe I was a little afraid, but I have to tell you. And thank you for getting it nice and cold.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I brought it in on ice. I mean, it's
got to have it cold milk. Because once it gets warm, it isn't quite as, you know, good.
Well, and appealing.
Fresh out of the cow.
Yeah. At 100 degrees.
It's going to be, it's going to be body temperature. It's going to be warm.
Right.
And yeah, it's not, it's an interesting thing to have, but you want to talk about being able to taste the feed. I mean, you can really pick out grass or hay, or it's a lot more aromatic at that point because it's not cold.
It is very flavorful. Granted, it's whole milk.
Yes.
So it hasn't been skimmed or pasteurized. So you're getting the real deal here. And I don't think that I've ever had it before. So
oh, cool.
I've enjoyed it and I appreciate it.
Oh, good. Well, and you know, I'm kind of an advocate for full fat things when you consume them. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of vitamins that are only fat soluble. A, D, E, and K, I think, are the fat soluble. I keep looking at Carol for verification of all my facts. You have a face like you know everything.
Oh, gosh.
And not like a know-it-all, but I don't know. I just keep looking at you like you're going to be nodding yes or something to all my crazy facts I'm trying to pull out of thin air. But yeah, A, D, E, and K are the vitamins that I believe are fat soluble.
Correct.
Thank you, Carol.
Dr. Carol.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, it's, I would tend to think that, you know, in a natural process such as this, a cow eating grass and producing its own milk, mm-hmm. For its young, or that it's going to pass along the right proportion of nutrients that are best for its offspring. So hopefully we're getting some benefit as well from drinking it. It is kind of a strange thing that we drink, you know, milk from another animal, but we do.
Well, we drink mom's milk, many of us, the first year of our life.
Yep.
And that has just about every benefit you could ever think of, but you probably can't really compare the two here.
Yeah, I tried a friend of mine in L.A. I actually tried some breast milk.
Okay.
Yeah, it was weird. She was pumping for her son, and, like, I was just, you know, waiting, and she goes, "Did you want to try this?" And I said, "I'm so glad you asked, because I would have never, but yes, I'm from a food point of view, was entirely curious." And I remembered that same cheesemaker telling me how he'd made cheese years before from his wife's breast milk when she was producing for their kids. So it was a curiosity, but
now I'm curious, was she grass fed or no?
She was one of the healthiest people I know. So that was the other reason I took it. I was like, you know, you eat really well, so I want whatever.
I'll bet you there's a cookbook out there somewhere that has recipes from breast milk. We have a caller.
We do. We have a caller. Okay. We have caller Jane that wants to talk raw milk. Cool. Hi, Jane.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know, when I was young, I grew up on a farm, and we had a family cow, and my dad would milk the cow, and my mother would pour the milk through a cheesecloth, and that was all she did, and then she would let it settle and take off the cream, and we would make butter. But I'm always amazed that I just drank milk through a cheesecloth.
Well, yeah, and I think that's probably more than anything, just to get out any little bits of hay or grass that might have been on the cow's udder, is more than, you know, anything else. But
yes, it was. And my mother had a standard that if the cow stepped in the milk, she would throw the milk away. But other than that, you know, it was fine. And she would always taste the milk, because, you know, it spoils faster. And us children would say, "Mom, it tastes sour. I don't like this." And she would taste it, and she would say, "It's fine. Drink it."
it does spoil a little faster. You've got about a week after, I mean, and you want to keep it refrigerated the whole time. So
yeah, well, and in a family of nine, my mother was not going to waste a thing. So that is, when I tell my friends that story, it's just so funny to think of that I drank that. I drank a lot of sour milk growing up.
where did you grow up?
In South Berwick, Maine.
Okay. Well, yeah, and that's the kind of stuff you can substitute in for buttermilk too. I mean, if you've got a little sour milk that's going to be cooked, make pancakes or a cake or, you know, something like that. Use it like you would use buttermilk.
And we had this big old butter churn that we all had to take turns on making butter, and you know that was not much fun either. It's a lot of work growing up on a farm.
So we brought back some memories for you, Jane.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's fun to think about what I did long, long time ago. So, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah. Call any time. That was a great story. There's probably a lot of people who share her memories as well.
Yeah. So the dairy farm I worked on was called Bobolink Dairy in New Jersey, and that was actually my first exposure to the East Coast whatsoever. And it was right after culinary school, and so that's where I kind of got into the idea of raw milk and just. Mm-hmm. Animal husbandry in general. I mean, they created their website, and they wanted to kind of line up what their business was in two words. And they got so many phone calls from people that were so mad that their cows were outside in the snow. And what they would do is just leave the barn doors open so that the cows could come in or out. And the cows just loved being outside. So they went with cowsoutside.com, because they constantly got these phone calls from people like, you're torturing those poor cows. Let them in. And, you know, they really just let the cows be cows. And they were really, you know, cows were really good at being cows. And, so I've kind of taken that, you know, that philosophy and run with it a bit. But yeah, they really just kind of kept it simple. You were getting all the benefits of this cow traveling all around on the grass and picking up all these different, you know, wildflowers that also grow into it. So you're just getting this little bit of benefit from all these different plants. And it's not just a one monoculture feed that they're getting over and over again. That's usually just like beet shavings and corn and, you know, nothing quite romantic about it. And so, you know, this felt a lot more natural to me. And yeah, the taste is what really sells it. But getting to be on the farm and just seeing how simple the processes are, how simple they can be when you let, you know, nature have its way. It's the romantic idea, you know, the American farmer. It still exists. So, and it's a pleasure to see it here in New Hampshire.
Especially on this particular level. It's not a large industrial corporate farm. It's probably a family farm. And it sounds like they are taking contributions or at least selling products from neighboring farms as well. So, you know, they're contributing to the greater good by making it, you know, power by numbers without being beholden to corporations.
Exactly. And that's, when that's the case, there's no one taking out a percentage. You know, mm-hmm. It's not, there's no middle level. You're buying direct from the family, from the producer. So every penny you're paying is going into their, you know, into their direct costs, into their pockets. It's not being divided amongst a distributor,
all the middlemen.
Yeah, you know, in many states, government likes to take a cut. That seems to be a bit relaxed here, thankfully. But you know, that's often the case. I mean, as much as, I mean, 9.5% was the sales tax in California.
So, oh boy.
Yeah, I mean, that's added on to every purchase that I used to make. And so it's really nice here to know that my money, even when I'm spending a little more on a product like this, is going, I know where it's going.
Not going to Concord.
Yeah.
Which is nice. You've not been here that long. For those who don't know, Randy moved here from California earlier this year. Likes it here a lot, I can tell. You should get to Vermont when you can, because that's a huge dairy state. You might find some hidden gems that would please you.
Okay, cool.
Now, I have a question for you before we let you go. When you were, did you research to find out in the state or in this area where they had raw milk, or did you just happen upon it?
I had seen their yogurt at A Market, and then, Jessica was looking for, she actually picks up grass-fed beef from Benedict Dairy as well.
Okay.
So that's, yeah, she's paleo, I'm vegetarian, but she picked up some grass-fed ground beef while she was there, and so that was what kind of sold us going there versus somewhere else. They gave her a pretty good deal on the beef because she bought quite a bit in quantity and threw it in the freezer. And so that was the selling point for me. I was like, well, hey, can we go here, because then I can get some milk too. And
there you go.
And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful day last week too, but just their property and the bright red barn on the bright green grass and the bright blue sky and big white clouds. It was just,
that's so beautiful.
He's like in New Hampshire so far.
I think he does.
Well, there's this color combination. Besides that one, there's like pockets of white, purple, and yellow wildflowers that are just everywhere, and they popping up out of the green grass, and like that, those four colors together just get me every time.
The yellow, I think, are the black-eyed Susans. I think that's what those are.
But purple or the lupines or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah, lupines.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So one thing I do have to tell you, I'm going to be making your spicy sriracha nuts. I know I keep going back to that on TV.
Okay.
There's a Channel 9 does a segment every day during the noon news called Cook's Corner.
Okay.
And occasionally I get asked, even though I'm not trained, so I make something very simple. And because the theme of this particular segment is Chili Fest, because there's an event coming up that I'm a judge at in a couple of weeks, I thought I'd make something a little bit on the spicy side, something that you can do pretty quickly on TV. Obviously, I'm not going to throw them in the oven and, you know, toss them four times in the hour. So I will be giving you credit. I'm going to bring along your Sriracha cookbook as part of my props. So if you're near your TV, I'm taping it Wednesday. I think it's going to air Friday, 12:15-ish.
Cool. Well, thanks.
Yeah.
And remember, a little more sriracha.
Yes.
That's the one recipe in the book that needs a little more sriracha.
I'm sorry to have picked that one.
It's fine. I'm glad I got to clear it up for all your listeners.
All right. Randy Clements, Sriracha Cookbook author, and educating us about today,
raw milk,
which I'm so glad that you did. I did enjoy it. But take the rest of it home with you.
Well,
I won't be home for a couple hours. It'll spoil.
No problem.
So thanks, Randy. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you, guys.
Cool.
All right. You're listening to Food for Thought. We're going to go on break. When we come back, it is Wake the Health Up America. Steve Freeman. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It is Monday, and just talking about raw milk. Tried to get Steve Freeman here to try some raw milk, but he wasn't having it. See, I felt obligated to on the air.
Sure.
Handing it to me. It's different. It is. But again, I'm not a milk drinker, so.
It definitely has the whole milk taste to it, but it is a more vivid flavor, and it's more dairy-ish.
It's like, I can taste heavy, the difference. Like,
yeah, it is,
you know,
heavy.
Like,
it's whole milk.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the way nature intended it, so
exactly.
It's and the way we rarely have had it. And it's had its controversies, and I think there are pockets in the state where there are issues in respective towns to sell it that way, but clearly Goffstown doesn't have an issue with it, or yeah. At least it's being permitted at this particular farm.
Right.
So
exactly.
That said, hey, this is Steve Freeman from the Manchester Food Co-op, who we bring in as often as he has time to join us. And every time you're here, we're always, you know, quizzing you about what's happening with the co-op. I think you've got some good news finally, because it's been kind of in limbo for so long, hasn't it?
Well, it's not finally we have some good news. We have more good news.
Okay, thank you.
Just to really address that point, when we started this co-op, which I wasn't originally part of, everyone sort of thought, you know, oh, 12 to 18 months, we'll get this thing open. Then as we've really dug into it, it's a 7 to 10 year process, and we're in our fifth year. So really, we're doing great with membership. We're looking at sites right now. We're sending out the third letter of intent today, which I talked about a week ago. The second one came back with revisions. So we're moving forward with that, and it is a long, slow process to get a co-op open. You really got to build it from the ground up, and you really have to get the support of the community, because we'll look to the community for a portion of the financing, and we're certainly going to turn to the community to support this store and make it their go-to place for all their groceries. So our announcement is, we went out last week with a press release. On the way to opening the storefront that you can go to, you know, 7 to 7 p.m. or whatever the hours might be, we're working on an initiative to bring a food truck to the community of Manchester, a little different than the typical food trucks that are the sensation right now, where they're slinging hash or steak and cheese grinders or chicken fingers. We're going to make sort of a mock-up of what the co-op would be. Of course, our locally made T-shirts, handbags, apparel. I'm looking into socks right now for another locally produced good. But also the fresh produce that we can get from local farms, and also shelf-stable products like Sriracha Hot Sauce. There's actually a company in Western Mass that makes Sriracha Hot Sauce, or however you say Sriracha.
Sriracha is the usual pronunciation.
Sriracha.
Yeah,
and,
spelled weird, though. So.
There's a great person we've done a lot of work with who sprouts nuts in Ware, New Hampshire, so we'll have those packaging. We might have a little bulk display. We've just sort of launched the initiative, and what we're really excited about is, as you said, we've kind of been in limbo, which we haven't been in limbo. We just we're so busy focusing on getting the store that we might have lost touch with keeping in communication with our members. This announcement on our Facebook page and our monthly newsletter has re-engaged our member owners, brought in some new member owners, spiked our Facebook likes, which has just been tremendous. And that it's a side effect of the announcement, because we really want to stay engaged with our owners, because it's our store, their store. It's not the board of directors store per se. We've reconnected with our member owners. We're getting a lot of feedback, a lot of emails. So it's really wonderful to have this opportunity to reconnect with our ownership. So we're working out the details. I think we've given ourselves like a 90-day timeline to launch this thing, get it on the road so it doesn't distract us from opening the store. We have a meeting that the public is invited to on August 20th. I should have looked before I said that, but I think it's a Thursday night at 6 p.m., and it's at Carpet One, which is right here in the Mill Yard in Manchester. It is Thursday, August 20th at 6 o'clock, and it's
Oh, right next to 900 Degrees, right?
I should have been better prepared. The Wombeck Mill.
Oh, okay.
I think it's the Wombeck. But it's on the river.
All right, then I may have pointed out the wrong place.
But close to 900.
Yeah.
And actually, Carpet One is a tremendously successful, cooperatively owned business that sells carpet and opens carpet and flooring retail stores all over America. And he's known as one of the most innovative, cooperative people in America, and he lives here in Manchester, New Hampshire. He's one of our first 10 member owners, and he's always been available to advise the board and continues to help us, support us, and put us in the right direction.
That's interesting.
His name's Howard Brodsky. Thank you, Howard. Hugely successful in the co-op world. He gets co-op awards every year for being truly innovative, and he's right here in Manchester along with lots of other great, successful people that continue to pour their experience into our little cooperative.
Right. I got to get back to the truck now. Is this going
yes.
to go from community to community, contiguous Manchester towns, or just in town? and different neighborhoods selling the various products, merch and food?
Correct.
Okay.
And to clarify the food, we're not going to get a license to make you a sandwich or
sure.
make you a salad.
Of course.
But we're going to sell basically what you see at the farmer's market.
All right.
For fresh produce and then shelf stable products. Yes, we're going to focus on businesses, perhaps like where I work, CMC Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make an announcement. We'll be here from 11 to 3 on Thursday. Come and get your local produce. We'll have some prepared food sort of thing and see what the co-op is. Talk to us, engage with us so we can explain to you what a co-op is, why we're ahead of the curve, how long it takes to get us open, why buying in really gives you a stake in your food future here
in
Manchester.
Have other co-ops, Steve, done this as kind of a transition to the eventual final actual bricks and mortar?
No.
That's a great idea. Do you take credit for that?
Nope. I don't try to take credit for any of the ideas I bring to the board. I just try and get them to get legs and find their way to fruition. I'm pretty sure Sarah Cole, our president,
I know Sarah. Used to work with her.
Sarah is...
sure.
She has wings. She's just great. She came up with the idea, and we batted it around for probably 6 months or so. We've been talking about it, and then like 2 months ago, we all just looked at each other and said, let's do this. Let's get it done. We put a budget together. Sarah did most of the work and said, this is viable. We can get this to work, and it can grow into, once the store is open, the truck continues. The truck, we will then be able to get our license and be a real food truck in the eyes of the public of what a food truck is. There's a lot of things we've done as a co-op that other co-ops have turned to us to say, you know, where'd you come up with that? How'd you make it work? And we just collectively come together on how do we get this thing open? How do we, you know, inform the public on what it means to be a member owner of the Manchester Food Cooperative and what does it mean to your long-term food security? And it's just another idea that took a little time, but then over the past 2 weeks, we're like, this is going to work, and a very important message is we've received some feedback that people are like, well, I want my store. I don't want a food truck. I want a store where I can go and meet my community members and things of that sort. This isn't distracting the board because we're actually engaging other member owners and giving them the tools they need to run with it and make it happen so it doesn't take away from our primary focus of getting the store open.
For listeners, out there that are interested in becoming a member, becoming an owner of mm-hmm. Manchester Food Co-op, where do they go to do that?
Manchesterfood.coop, C-O-O-P, top right of the page. Join us now. Follow it through. Join online. In the spirit of keeping your money local, we'll take membership anywhere we can, but if you print out the form and mail it to us with a check, we get the full $100 as an equitable purchase. If you buy online, we charge you $3 because $3, unfortunately, goes out of our community to pay the credit card processing fee. Because our bylaws, and it's a cooperative law, that you have to take full $100. You can't discount it. You can't trade it. You have to buy it. It's a stock share. You're buying one share of the Manchester Food Co-op.
And so, you can only buy one, right?
No, you can buy more.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there's a few people that have bought 5 or 10 shares. It doesn't get you more votes, but it gets you more stock shares based on. And so when we're open and we're profitable, you'll have 10 times the return of a typical stock share. And that's a great question because what that does is it gives us more income. It's equity, not income. Mm-hmm. It gives us more capital to get the store open. So some people have chosen to buy multiple shares or gift shares to help us raise more money because it's all about, you know, at the end of the day, it's our spreadsheet because we're a bunch of volunteers to a bank where, who are you? You've never done this before sort of thing, even though this is how they work. They're an anomaly in the finance world. So the more money we have and the more ownership, it's actually not money, it's ownership. The more shares we have sold, the stronger of a economic base we are to the financial institutions.
All right, we should do a break.
We do. We need to take a break. We're in studio with Steve Freeman, Wake the Health Up America, and we're talking about the Manchester Food Co-op. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Our final 5 minutes, it's 107.7 WTPL, The Pulse, and Food for Thought brought to you by Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and Londonderry. Also, Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the green room of Food for Thought and Kale & Company. Kenny's in just a couple of moments. And Healthy Solutions Spice Blends, go to spiceblends.com. Very happy to let you know, tomorrow we'll be starting a new segment every other week with one of the founders of Hippo Magazine, and an author and world traveler in his own right, Dan Cesney, doing a segment. I think it's called Weird Snacks. Isn't that what it is?
Fun, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Be pretty cool.
So he's blogged about it, and he's got all kinds of, you know, a catalog of material that he'll just start bringing it out and sharing it with
love
us.
Love it.
Not exactly sure how that's going to sound, but I know it's going to be good because Dan is a really compelling guy. And your sister-in-law, Lori Lawrence, who we've been talking about with the Camino Walk, is that what it was called?
Yeah, Camino Walk.
500 miles across northern Spain, and the adventures that she shared online, she can tell, or on Facebook, she can share with us tomorrow.
Exactly.
Cool stuff.
It'll be fun.
Steve Freeman is here from the Manchester Food Co-op. Exciting news. A food truck for the co-op, maybe 90 days away or later this year anyway, right? You think it'll be ready to roll?
I think we gave ourselves a 90-day window to get this thing together so we don't spend too much time on it and get it out in the community before snow flies.
So it'll be mobile. It can come to your function. Your parade, your fundraiser, I suppose, wherever people gather, it's a chance, as you say, to check in with member owners. And by the way, this is just a small sampling of what you will see when the store opens.
Correct. I think we can make it. It's got wheels, so we can take it to any event. We definitely have found success piggybacking on other organizers' events, you know, the parades downtown. And we want to be able to answer more questions that the community has and engage with our member owners, and obviously always, even, you know, 20 years from now when the store is hugely successful and we have 5,000 members, we always want more member owners. Because when you buy into a business for $100 and you think about, I need to get a bag of potatoes, I'm just going to run to my store. No, I'm going to run to the co-op. I own it. Mm-hmm. I want to keep my store open. I want to support the store I own. And it's a $100 investment. And some people have struggled with that $100 and they've saved up for a year to join. And those few people that have fully understand the value of a co-op in their community and the positive impact they have on their health, their diet, the power, the investment in the community and the community gathering place, which only sort of co-ops have succeeded at in the retail food sector. Right,
before we go, we do need to acknowledge that peaches are now available.
Yes. Local peaches, get out there and buy them now, people. Wake the health up, America. Local peaches have hit. I've had them from the Manchester Farmers Market, I think 2 weeks now I've been having them. They're smaller, they're fuzzier, they're tangier, they're tastier, they're juicier. Wear your summer clothes. Don't eat a local peach with your tie on, because I guarantee you, wear a bib. And again, it goes back to, for those just tuning in, The flavor of local, you just can't compare the flavor of local to anything out there, except your aunt's, you know, garden in Italy, maybe. But these local peaches are just phenomenal with flavor.
I'm going to get peaches.
Ripeness. Oh, yeah. And again, they're all grown for flavor and for the season. They're not grown with chemicals or for shipping and manufacturing and looks. They're grown naturally from these local orchards of New Hampshire. And it's one of the things that's it's a short season. Get out there and enjoy them now. Buy a dozen. Leave them out at room temperature. Do not refrigerate them. And eat them every day. Eat three a day. They are so good. They've supplanted my desire for ice cream. They are so sweet. And I'll do anything to get healthier food than ice cream in me.
Last week when we were talking about tomatoes, Tuesday, I remembered, and we went to the Bedford Farmers Market, and we bought like three of the most beautiful tomatoes. You know, nice, big, red, plump. Oh, my gosh. Those are like, it's like eating candy, really.
It is so good. And the skin, if you notice, is softer and tender. And tomatoes, to talk about that for a minute, a lot of tomatoes today, they've changed the engineering of them so they don't bruise as much. And I have, you know, those tomato cores you see in the restaurant. They've changed the way they grow that they're so not fibrous in a good way, but they have the pits, the core of the tomato comes out. It has like a root system going into the meat of the tomato now. These local tomatoes don't have that. It pops right out. So all these tomatoes I've been buying for years at the store, I core it out, and it has like a root system in, which was designed to keep it from falling apart in shipping. So get out there and buy local peaches wherever you find them. Enjoy them if you like peaches. Enjoy the flavor of local while it's here.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, thanks for the good news about the truck. We'll continue to follow that.
Follow us on Facebook. Look up the ManchesterFood.coop on Facebook. Like us and stay informed. Stay in tune with us.
Sounds great.
Come back next week.
I'll be here.
Thanks, Steve.
Wake the Health Up America next week. And up next, Kale and Company. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye.
I forgot this week.